Perfect. All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast where we dive in on relationships, love, lust, dating, science, philosophy, psychology, and so much more. We're also on iTunes, so make sure to leave us a review on there if that's where you're tuning in from, and Spotify as well. Or if you're watching here on YouTube, then hit that subscribe button, hit that bell button so you can get automatic updates. And there is no fee to listen to the show, actually. Just tell a friend. That's all we ask that you do, all right? And we're going to give you guys some useful advice and tools on the show, and hopefully you guys can make an impact in your own lives. But we are streaming live today, actually, in my private group. So this is going to be like a dual, like, podcast recording slash live broadcast. So it will be a little bit interactive. So if you guys want to join in on the fun, you have to be a divorced father, but if you're not a divorced father, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Tune in regardless, because the things that we're going to talk about today is going to be pretty relevant to you regardless if you're divorced or not. But also how it's going to be relevant to you is that you probably know somebody who's gone through a divorce. I mean, it's not uncommon these days. I mean, the divorce rate is like 50% right now. So like about half of marriages are actually failing at this moment, right? So it's not uncommon that you're going to run into somebody that's gone through a divorce or maybe is going through a divorce. And so that's why this podcast is going to actually, this episode still will apply to you, all right? So don't skip through it. This is actually going to be really important, because when I was going through something, I really wished I had somebody to turn to, or I wish somebody who knew a little something or can give me a little bit of tips on like what to expect pre and post divorce, because it is a long journey. I mean, especially if you have kids, you're not gonna, these kinds of issues won't go away. They actually continue to be in your lives. And you're gonna have to learn how to navigate them the best way that you possibly can, because obviously you wanna put your kids first, and you wanna also make sure that they thrive in the environments that you're gonna now create for them, because you're gonna be divorcing. So before we get into all that, I just want to lay out my intention with today's podcast. And today's intention is really just to arm you with tools that I've accumulated over the years, but also to try to reframe what you think of divorce, because a lot of people look at divorce as a failure, as something that, oh, it's to chalk up. And the reason why it's not good to look at divorce as a failure is actually it hurts your self-esteem. So divorce isn't a failure. It's actually the very beginning of something very beautiful, only if you let it, all right? And so my intention here is to kind of reframe that, but also to give some tools along the way, because there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to have to think about pre and post divorce. There's a lot of things that we got to think about, like I said, and I'm just going to try to see if I can lay out some of that for you. I'm looking at some notes here, so I apologize if it looks like if I'm reading, but regardless, let's get at it. And if you guys are joining in live in the Facebook group, or if you're joining in live on YouTube, say hello in the comments. Let me know that you're there. Where are you guys tuning in from? I really, really like to know. Looks like I've gotten some comments already. I'll try to show those too. But yeah, if you're tuning in live, let me know where you guys are coming in from in the comments. If you can't comment, don't worry. If you're driving, no worries. But yeah, let's keep this as interactive as possible. Also, if you guys have questions, I will be doing a Q&A afterwards as well too, if you guys have some specific questions along the way. But I do want to get to the bulk of this this bit, because I do have quite a lot, all right? But so divorce, obviously the reasons why people divorce are a lot. I mean, I'm looking at like six or seven here, and there's like three or four that pretty much come up a lot frequently, and you know, we're going to touch on a little bit of them here. But there are many reasons why relationships break down, and they could be either financial issues, which is one of the biggest ones, infidelity, obviously, being cheated on and figuring out that your partner was not faithful to you can be very detrimental. I know from firsthand experience. I don't know if you guys have known my story, but this is where I come from. Irreconcilable differences, there's so many things that can go under that topic in terms of what can go in there. Sexless marriages is definitely on there as well. Sex is an important proponent to marriage. Parenting differentiations. I mean, a certain spouse can have a certain way that they wanted to raise their children, and the spouse can disagree with that, and those problems can arise, and then divorce can happen. Makoko, what's up, dude? Here from Gaborone, Botswana. Holy crap, what's up? I didn't know that we can reach Botswana, but this is awesome. What's up? Welcome to the channel and welcome to the show. If you have any questions, like I said, put it in the chat. We're going to be kind of keeping this interactive as much as we possibly can. There are many reasons why relationships break down. I could have a field day just breaking down all of the stuff that goes on. But, you know, we're going to try to do our best with what we have and just focus on a little bit of on just divorce right now. Because my intention, like I said, I'd gotten recent, a lot of people reach out to me, basically. Let's just put it this way. And recently I just got a DM from, I'm not going to name any names, not going to name who, but it's a friend of mine. And this person is going through something right now. And I figured what better way to kind of, and I was actually going to write a long email to this friend. But, instead of doing that, I said, what better way to do that than just have this person watch this video? Because I'm going to give, all the angles of like why you should be thinking certain things or doing certain things at certain times. Because, I've gone through it. There's people have gone through this as well. There's over 3,000 members in this group who are a little bit ahead of the curve as well, who come in here and they chime in and they talk about certain issues. So I'm going to be brushing or trying to do my best and trying to incorporate all of that as well. And that's why I'm inspired to do this episode, because like I said, I know this hits home with a lot of people. And it sucks to be going through something like that, and nobody wants to go through this alone. So we got another comment here from Torrance, California. Survive my divorce and thriving. Thanks for the group. Hey, no problem, man. That's what this group is here for. If you're in this group, because like we as men, first of all, we have broken support systems, right? I know we're surrounded by people who told us to suck it up, who told us to like man up, and that culture frankly has made us pretty, I guess, aggressive in nature, and we've learned to bottle things up, and they show up in our lives in ways that we don't want it to show up. And there's nothing wrong with being aggressive. It's part of male nature. It's part of masculinity. But I know that with neuroplasticity and all that, we're able to create just new ways of doing things. We don't have to use aggression to get what we want. Okay, so we've come a long way since then. But I appreciate the comments. I appreciate you guys chiming in. And if you guys have questions, like I said, don't hesitate to ask. I was writing up this email and I just figured, let's just talk about all the things that we can do about pre and post divorce. Okay, so pre-divorce, what are you guys going to think about, right? So two things, right? The legalities, obviously another word for money, and your kids. If you don't have kids, you can totally disregard what I'm about to say about the children. But what's important to understand is that legalities, first of all, this is probably going to be the most stressful time for you. But it's not going to be the thing that you're going to have to handle long term. This is the most stressful thing short term. And so I would spend most of your time here. Do your due diligence. Get to know the terms around family law. And let me throw in a little bit of nuance here. If I'm talking to fathers right now, you're going to have to prepare for a long battle ahead, just because depending on where you're filing from or where you're going to court, you could be at a disadvantage. We're entering a time now where we're just starting to, I guess, break free from the old precedents that have kind of screwed a lot of fathers over and that have starting to, I guess, deter men from wanting to get into marriage after this. Because I'm sure a lot of you fathers listening in are going to probably question getting married after this and having kids and stuff like that. So all of this is going to affect you in some sort of way. All right. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's just think about the legalities for now. All right. Let's think about getting ourselves familiar with the terms. You're right. Alimony, child support, right of first refusal, all these kinds of things are going to come up in your negotiations, and you're going to want to think, you're going to want to arm yourself with this information. All right. Another thing about legalities is because kids are involved, I would suggest if you're a dad listening in or a mom even, don't leave the home. For two reasons. One, the children didn't ask for this, and secondly, you don't want to be like disrupting their routine or their schedule. And also, when you leave the matrimonial home, let's say your wife cheated on you and you're pissed, you decide to leave, you go get another one-bedroom apartment because you can't stand being in the house with somebody who cheated on you. And what you're doing there is you're actually giving up status quo to your wife. You're actually saying to the courts, and to the people who are involved, in your case, that you're okay with abandoning the matrimonial home and abandoning your children and living away from this as kind of like an outsider. As opposed to if you stayed in the matrimonial home, you are now able to express that, no, I have a better, you're basically saying that you have a better chance at either full custody or 50-50. The goal is always to go 50-50, okay? Obviously, in cases of toxicity where there is mental, physical, verbal abuse, you're gonna want to be careful how you tread there, because that is not a healthy environment for your children. But that said, it's clear that for a family to thrive, there needs to be a mom and a dad there, okay? And whether that mom and dad lives separately or not, it doesn't really matter, because the family is still going to be intact, and that's the goal, right? So start thinking about parental, sorry, I just lost my train of thought there. Start thinking about your parental plan, your parental parenting plan, your schedule. Sorry, that's where I wanted to go. Because so after you stay in the home, you're going to want to start thinking about who's going to stay in this home, right? Are you going to move out, or is she going to move out, right? That's all going to have to come into conversation. Am I going to split the assets, or more importantly, like I said, is the parenting schedule. So don't fight about the coffee maker and, the lawnmower and, little certain things. Yeah, those are important later on. Not so much. The more important things, I think, is just splitting up the house where you guys are going to live, and obviously your assets, split your assets to something that's agreeable. Okay, if she has none, or if he has none, and vice versa, whatever the case may be, think about the most fairest thing for that particular part of your divorce. Okay. Robin, you are awesome. Thanks, man. I'm not sure. I can't really see. You guys are gonna have to. I'm not sure why it just shows the Facebook user, but I don't know why I can't see you guys, your guys' comments. I'd love to see your names pop up. So talk to the issue about kids not understanding why there was a divorce and end up blaming themselves, particularly why they didn't see the traditional obvious grounds, abuse, arguments, etc., where the silence between spouses led to irreconcilable differences and we grew together. I'm definitely going to talk about that. That's awesome that you mentioned this, because it is definitely important. There are so many cases where, and I know this from asking, because like I've had cousins and I've had friends, I've had other family members who have gone through, and their parents have gone through, and their children have divorced. And so I could see that they probably internalized a lot of things. And they will blame themselves. And so, yes, you will have to be, you're going to have this open dialogue with your children. And that's the next point I'm not going to make. All right. So let me stress this point. All right. So 50-50, in case of a toxic situation, refer to mediators, professionals, all that stuff. Okay. Figure out the living arrangements in the case that you guys are amicable. But otherwise, leave the children at home. Try not to interrupt their routine. Okay. Like, that's the most important thing that I can possibly say for that particular portion of the divorce. Okay. And when to tell your kids. So this is the part that confuses a lot of people. And obviously, the sooner the better. Be honest with your children. They're already going to know what's kind of going on. If you guys are fighting, they're going to hear it. And if you guys are acting weird towards each other, they're going to feel it. So it's better to not try to hide it from them. And they're obviously a lot smarter than that. So if you guys don't already have this, and I'm sure most families do, but if you don't, you have to create a safe space for your entire family so that whenever something or situation comes up, or emotions get the best of them, or they just don't know how to process it, they have to understand that this safe space, they're not going to be judged. They're not going to be, there's going to be no consequences given to them because of how they feel. So one might feel angry. One might feel upset at you. You cannot give consequence to your child for having a feeling. So you have to acknowledge that person, that child's feelings. But also, like I said, they shouldn't feel shamed or humiliated for having something like that. So creating a safe space, if you guys have not already created that, creating a safe space for your whole entire family to come together and express whatever is going on is important, because this is the tone that you're going to set for every future conversation that you guys are going to have moving forward. And because when things are going to get difficult, for sure they're going to get difficult, because if you have young children right now, and let's say puberty, feelings, emotions are at an all-time high, hormones are raging out of control, miscommunications along the way, and that's why there needs to be the space where people can come back to and host these conversations and have basically the talk about, you know, it's not your fault. This has nothing to do with you guys. It's actually the relationship between your father and I, or your wife, or your mom and I. And so whichever side of the equation that you guys are coming from, it's important that we also talk about why those differences happened. Okay. And I think that's what the commenter was talking about here. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because it is important. And so that's kind of like the more important things that should take precedence in terms of what you should prepare for in this divorce. Now, let's get to kind of like the mental jujitsu stuff, like the stuff that I'm gonna have to use my mental fortitude to break free from things. Because this is obviously like, you know, surface level stuff. You talk to a lawyer, you talk to a mediator, you separate all the things, you do the parenting plan, you talk with your kids, and these are all very surface level things. But there's things that are going on right now that nobody can really, really put their words to, but they know that they're there and they just want it to go away, those feelings, okay? And that's the feeling of being heartbroken, okay? And so mending a broken heart starts by letting it just be broken, right? Not forever, just let it feel broken for a little bit, because it's important that we sit in the pain just for a little bit. Get to know that feeling a little bit, like, because you want to become familiar with it, that whenever it comes again, like it comes up and you get triggered and that feeling, you don't know what to do with it, it's because you haven't sat with it for a little bit. All right. And that's why I say just sit with it for a little bit. Get familiar with what this pain feels like, so that whenever you get triggered again, you're like, oh, that's what I'm going through. Now I know what to do. To do that. And creating new habits out of old ones is simple. So the most important thing about habits is that if you already have a habit of feeling heartbroken every single time you think about the divorce, or every time you think about, oh, she cheated on me and that was so unfair, or whatever the case may be, like if you have a habit of bringing that emotion up, it's okay. It's fine. That's a normal thing. Anger, betrayal, bitterness, whatever the emotion is, you have to give yourself credit for that emotion existing, okay? And so to create new habits out of that one is to catch yourself when you're having this moment. That's why it's important to sit there in a broken heart and know what it feels like, because the longer you can sit in it and know what it feels like, then when it comes up, you'll be, oh, I know, it's right there. And that's the hard part, is to catch yourself, Okay, and that's the whole mental jujitsu part that I'm talking about, is catch yourself. And when you do, you have to insert the new habit. That's the most important thing, right? Insert the new habit. So for example, when I found out I was being cheated on, my heart was broken every single time I felt that pain. Like I would resort to either anger and then self-harm. I would resort to like drinking and drugs and try to cope with the pain that way. Instead, what I do now is that when that feeling of heartbrokenness comes up, it's now replaced with a gratitude practice, because I don't go towards the drinking and the alcohol and the drugs to help me get past the pain. The gratitude helps me get there. And what that is for me may look different for you. Okay. And how I do my gratitude practice starts with a simple 7-second, 8-second breathing technique that I use. And it's called diaphragmatic breathing. And that helps to ground myself. And literally now my mind is being tricked that every single time I feel this heartbrokenness, it's like, what's it reminding me to do? And it reminds me to stay present, be grateful for whatever it is that I have in the moment. Okay. And then it's going to ground me, and I skip doing all of the alcohol and drugs part. So whatever it is that is for you, like some people replace it at the gym, they might go crazy at the gym and, you know, whatever it is, and they take it out that way. But the point of the matter is, like, you have to sharpen your sword this way. And when you do it this way, you're going to be able to weaponize yourself, and you're going to be able to use this and with any emotion that kind of comes your way, whether it be heartbreak or not. It could be anger, it could be just jealousy or rage, like it could be anything. But you have this tool, this sword now, that you're now able to lower your walls and be able to trust yourself again. So give yourself that space. And then also at the same time, and this goes for men too, because I'm speaking to men in my group right now, but there's also women who follow me that come to me for advice. And I think it's easier for women to do this, but I'm speaking to men here as well. And give yourself some time to just cry. Like these, one of those really ugly cries, like you got to do those, like the ones with the snot bubbling out of your nostril and stuff like that. Just it's okay. Just do it, because it's your body trying to release all of the toxins that's built up inside of you. Okay. So just let that out. Yes. Awareness. That's exactly what I'm trying to do with all of these Facebook lives, with all my podcasts, with basically everything that the reasons why we make mistakes is because we didn't have all the information. The reasons why we make poor decisions is because we didn't have all the information. And this is why awareness is so important, right? Like leveling up in every area of your life, not just relationships, is so important for your overall awareness, because it will help you make better decisions in life. And I'm going to talk a little bit about something that's going to kind of hinder our decisions, but I love all the comments coming in here, guys. Please keep it active. I love this. It pumps me up, and it also gives me an idea of like what's hitting for you, and maybe if there's something that's not hitting, I'll elaborate on it. Another comment coming in here, it says, recognize what it is and what isn't in your control. Put energy towards what you can control. Facts, absolute facts. So yeah, also the reason why you were heartbroken is because you had expectations that it was gonna last. You probably had this Cinderella story told to you from growing up, men and women, all right? We were all told our own sets of stories, and it's kind of sad, but you know, we drank the Kool-Aid as children, and now we're kind of paying for it. So we have to look back at what we expect out of our partners and kind of let those go, because that's kind of like the last part to freeing yourself and getting yourself ready for the future. And if you ever wanted to date again, or if you ever want to like get remarried or have children again and so on and so forth, you know, releasing expectations is gonna help you not be heartbroken in the future. All right. And so these are some things that you want to think about pre-divorce. And if you guys have any other suggestions, put it in the comments. And if you guys are chiming in now to from wherever, let me know where you guys are calling, chiming in from. It's kind of cool to know where you guys are from. So we got Africa, California in the house. I'm podcasting live from Toronto. So this is kind of cool to bring all of these people together and then still have the same kind of conversation and dialogue over the internet. It's awesome. That's why I love the internet and streaming services. So what you're going to try to do and tell yourself when it's over, just some mental hacks. The faster that you can come to terms and accept the divorce is the faster that you're going to be on your way to a new life. Sometimes accepting the divorce as not a failure, as realizing it as a stepping stone, realizing it as, you know, just a season in your life, as maybe it was just a test trial, a test run at the new thing that you're going to offer. But regardless, whatever that is, awareness is key, but acceptance is also the bigger thing. Another thing that's going to stop you from making the right decisions in life is releasing the bitterness and anger that is so built in up in us as men. And I'm going to speak for a lot of the men here, because like anger is something that women have too, but they're better at expressing their anger and getting rid of it, whereas men, we just tend to kind of hold it in. And what that does is it actually creates this like vengeful plot against whoever hurt us or whatever pain it is that we're feeling. Case in point, I'm going to tell you guys a little story. Right after I got divorced, I remember the last hurtful thing I said to my ex-wife was like, oh, just watch the next girl that I pull in, or basically something along those lines. Basically just trying to say, like, you know, and it came from such a bitter, bitter place. Like it was the most stupidest thing that I could ever said when I think about it. But it came from an angry and bitter place. But at the time when I said it, I was so convinced that that was the right way. And I realized that quickly when you vibrate at such a low vibrational frequency, you're just going to attract low vibrational people. And it's going to feel normal to you, and the brain loves familiar. And so we go towards what's familiar, even though like the stove is hot, we're still going to touch it. And so the bitterness part and the anger, the vengeful plots that's going on inside of your head, I understand them. I know what's going on in your head. Okay. But trust me, if you start to make decisions based on anger and bitterness, you are going to run yourself right into the same problems, maybe if not worse. And I'm not putting a hex on you. I'm just saying this is from my experience and also listening to the experiences of other men and women. Okay. This is not just a gender thing. This is definitely a human emotional thing. Okay. Anger does not get you anywhere. Okay. Other than broken fists, broken bones in your hands, fights, and just out of control things. Okay. Anger is best used when it's channeled. It's not when it's suppressed, when it's channeled. All right. Got fired up there a little bit. I got to calm my blood pressure down a little bit. If you guys are listening live, like I said, and I appreciate you guys coming in and spending a little bit of time with me. What's important, and I know when I went through my divorce, I lost a huge part of my identity. And so it's time to rebuild it. And I'm going to start speaking towards people who are post-divorce now. So we did a little bit of pre-divorce stuff. If I missed out anything, let me know. But pre-divorce, like I said, it's a lot of mental jujitsu. It's a lot of thinking about your children and setting the ground and foundation for where your children are going to live, where they're going to be parented, how they're going to be parented. All that's important. When to tell them, obviously sooner the better. The legalities, right? Like get familiar with the terms, because and get ready for the long haul, because especially if you're dealing with a toxic ex, you're in for it. You're definitely going to be in for the long run. Okay, so get familiar with the terms, do your due diligence, get familiar with your lawyers. Interview the shit out of them. Know, like, the questions that you should be asking them is, have you won for people in my situation? Okay, like when you ask your lawyer, ask them if he's ever won or she is ever won for people in the same situation as you. Because the way law is it's done on precedents. It's done on case precedents. And so that's the most important guiding factor of who you should pick in as your lawyer or as your professional. Now, there's some guys in here who are self-representing, okay? Be very careful if you're self-representing. Women too, okay? I know, I just find that men do this more often, but if you're doing it, I've met some men who knew more than I knew men who knew more about family law, and they weren't lawyers. Okay, so it can be done. All right, self-representation can be done. In my opinion, I just think it's better to go arm yourself with a lawyer, especially if you're going against a toxic ex. Okay, and they're lawyered up. Okay, so it's going to be hard. It's going to be an uphill battle for you. So just know that. If you're going to go self-representation route, it's better to, I see your question here. Is it Jewel? What about self-representation? Yes. If you're going to be doing this at all costs, do your due diligence. Know family law in whatever state that you're in or whatever country that you're in. Know that family law in and out so that you're not going to be getting screwed, because there are lawyers out there this is what they make money for. And it's a cruel world out there for these lawyers, and they make money on results. And so just be careful about that. So that wraps up the pre-divorce. We're right on time here. We're about at the midway mark of the show, 30 minutes in. So now we're going to talk a little bit about post-divorce for people who are a little bit over the abyss, okay? You've probably figured out what direction you want to head now, and it's okay to start brand new, all right? Look, Colonel Sanders didn't start his company until like he was 60 or something like that. You know, Morgan Freeman didn't start acting until he was like in his late 40s or his late 50s. So it's never too late to start something. That's the point I'm trying to make. But it's better to have a purpose and a vision than to not. And it's better to know where you want to go in life and aim for that, as opposed to just being reactionary to things, okay? Like picture yourself as like a captain of a ship, okay? And if you let the waves of the water just take you where you need to go, you're not going to be a very good captain, okay? But so if you had a purpose and a reason and a why, then you would, as a captain of a ship, would get to your destination regardless of what the waves and whatever conditions the weather is giving you, okay? And it's fine if you don't know where yet, but at least have a general idea of what you want to do. You also want to start thinking about, like I said, who you want to be and who you're, and if you're also wanting to get into another relationship again. Obviously, depending on how bad you got it, you're probably going to be jaded for a little bit. You're probably going to find the red pill and you're going to go through a red pill rage. If you guys don't know what the red pill is yet, any man going through a divorce or a huge breakup, if you find the red pill, just know that this is what it is, okay? The best way I can explain the red pill is there were a bunch of men, I would say, and they're called incels, basically, involuntary celibate, and they went to town on the human, on the female psyche and the biology of women. And from there, the pickup artists took that information and they kind of manipulated it so that these incels can learn game, okay? And that's where you get the term game from. And so red pill comes from these types of roots, but what it's transformed into is something that has a lot of truth to it. It has a lot of validity to the claims, but it's not a one-size-fits-all type of deal, because people who come into the red pill all have different uses for it. And what they are for you is your own journey. And I suggest everyone go through that. I'm not a red pill coach, not here for that, all right? But that's something that I will digress from here, but let you guys know that it's there, okay? And that's something that you guys should look into. Women listening in right now, if you aren't aware of this already, and I'm sure you all are, there is a community out there that is dedicated towards, putting game on men to go pick up women, okay? And that's all it is, and that's what you have to understand. That's what it is. That's what it's about. But now it's gotten to something a lot bigger. They're starting to deal with issues like feminism and just creating a whole praxeology on this relationship stuff. So anyhow, I will digress. But it's something that you're going to want to be familiar with because you're going to come into contact with it at some point in your journey, your dating journey or your relationship journey or whatever, what have you. But I suggest that that we become familiar with it. It's kind of like waking up, all right? It's when Neo or when Morpheus was giving the red pill or the blue pill to Neo and asked him, which one do you want to choose? You could take the blue pill, go back to your old conditioning and not wake up, or you can go back to the, or you can take the red pill, go down the rabbit hole, and you'll be exposed to all the truths. So that's where that metaphor comes from. Anyways, but dating is something that you're going to want to consider. Obviously, if you have children, it's going to get a bit tricky. Right. Also think about remarriage, knowing what you know now. Are you going to get married again? Are you going to have children again? Right. A divorce changes things. But whatever that route is, be honest and open about that with your future partner. OK. And let that person know so that you don't waste any time like having to, you know, go through this whole process and then finding out that they're not for you. All right. Secondly, what about introducing your children to new partners, right? Like when does that happen? Or when should we do that? Like, oh yeah, you might be dating somebody and then, oh, it might be a good time to introduce the children to this person. Well, when's a good time? I suggest like minimum 6 months of just positive dating. And what I mean by positive dating, I mean like you guys are like amazing. Went through some troubles, went and then got through them, but your communication is great, and then you guys are seeing a future together. The 6 months is the minimum. It's not a standard. It's not a rule. It's just a guidance, just a positive guide for you to follow and kind of take it as you will, all right? But that's something that you are going to want to think of. And if you want more advice on dating, I'm not your guy. I can give you my own personal stuff, but I have friends and there are men in this group that are really great with dating and they can give you a lot of tips on that stuff. But yeah, that's a thing to think about afterwards, after divorce. Okay. Secondly, it's time to wake up, and everything that you guys have been avoiding to do, or ladies, whatever that it is that you've been avoiding to do, go do it. Like life is short. Life is too short for us to be sitting there and just letting life pass us by. I just don't understand. Like there's a lot of us who sit there in the routine and actually don't get out of it. And it's just, I don't know, it boggles my mind, okay? I almost said bothered, but it doesn't bother me. It actually just boggles my mind. Secondly, your health is something that we got to talk about here, right? Like get in the best shape of your life. You want revenge? You want to give revenge on your ex or whatever? Go do this. There's nothing better than getting sexier than you were before. Plus you get to enjoy living longer, and you know that just seems to be a side effect of working out, right? And also it releases endorphins and it helps you regulate your mood, and all these endorphins get mixed in with your perspiration so that when you sweat, it's all good for your skin. And there's just so many good things about working out and getting healthy. And now people think like, oh, you got to hit the gym. You got to like do so many weights. No, like it's whatever works for you. Just get moving. Like I work out twice a day. I have a 45-minute run in the morning, and then I work out late at night with some weights, okay? Three times a week, but I run every day. Now, whatever it is for you. Like, obviously that's a lot for somebody who's just trying to get healthy, right? But that took me a while to build up, right? It didn't take me overnight to get like that. But you become more vibrant, you have more energy, people just want to be around you. And like, you can have those cheat meals that you've been always wanting to have and not feel so guilty, right? And you just go crazy one night after a good gym session, all right? Your kids are going to notice how much stronger you are, and especially if you're a dad and you have sons, this is a good thing to set for your sons to follow suit. You know, obviously you want your kids to be strong and healthy, and this is not me stereotyping. If you have daughters who want to be healthy, this is obviously a good thing as well too, but I'm saying dads for their sons, this is a way that you can bond and, you know, create a lot of strength in your kids as well. So health, what else didn't I talk about? Let's talk about money. All right, so somebody just talked about, so someone's like, okay, we don't even have money for a lawyer, lol, ol. So this is another reason why I do what I do. Is why do I spend time in the divorce space when it's very, very ugly, it can get very nasty, and it's a heartbreaking place to sit in. And the reason why I sit in there is because, man, what happens to men after divorce is not fun. And women too. I'm just, what happens to people in general is not fun at all. But the way that the court systems are, and the way it's just the way that it stands, men just seem to make more money. And not only that, women stay home to take care of the kids, because that's just how it traditionally has been. And because of that, the laws reflected that. But it's different now, where women are the breadwinners and, you know, men stay at home, and there's always these different dynamics. But at the end of the day, someone is getting screwed over this. And whoever is getting screwed over is going to want to think about how to get out of that. Because there's guys coming in here, I'm not going to mention names, but they come in here asking for money. And I get where they're coming from, because it's a debilitating situation. I understand your back is against the wall. But at the end of the day, okay, there are so many opportunities for us to make money and to create wealth that we really have no excuse to be asking for handouts. Okay, so starting side hustles is definitely important. The money side of things becomes really important, because like I said, most guys gotta get, they get put through the ringer after the court tells them that they're stuck paying X amount of dollars for X amount of years, and, you know, half of your assets are gone, and now you basically have to start all over and brand new again. And so realizing a few things in this category is going to help immensely. All right, so think about where you are in your life right now in terms of career and how much money you make. And think about the things that you want to do in your career and how much money you want to make. Because going back to having a purpose, going back to having an idea or ideal of yourself that you want to aim for is important. Because if you don't know what you're aiming for, you don't have any goals to get there. All right. And so analyze where you are right now. If you are currently an employee, or you're self-employed and you want to jump over to owning a business or being an investor, making some passive income or even some active income as an investor, you have to start asking yourself where you want to be, how much money you want to make, and how is it gonna, and then start reverse engineering from there. Okay, there are so many ways to make money. I mean, if you don't know how to make money online, the very first thing, I think the reason why you don't do it is because you have a scarcity mindset. And if you have a scarcity mindset, you won't be able to take the risks that you need to take in order to make that huge payday or jump out of the norm of being an employee or self-employed and jumping into the business category or business owner category and start making some real dollars for yourself. All right. And mindset is everything. So if you're sitting there thinking, oh, it's not for me, I'm too old, I'm too this, I'm too that, whatever that case may be, let's start with your mindset first, okay? And some books that have helped me with that is obviously Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That's one of the most talked about books that's changed a lot of people's lives in terms of the way they look at money and the way they are viewing how to make money in the future. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad, another book to read is The Richest Man in Babylon. This will also help guide your mindset that you have with money. And a third one I'm going to throw in there, and it's obviously a really, really long one, but I think it's called Money Mindset Matters by but it's a Tony Robbins book. But he interviewed over 12 or 13 of the world's largest billionaires, okay? And he talked about all their hedge funds, what they did to come into all their wealth, and, you know, whatever strategies and tips that they have for this, all right? And that book is going to help open up your mind to see what's possible out there for you. And hopefully eradicate that scarcity mindset that's been sitting in your mind dormant and stopping you from taking the steps that you need to take in order to really, really make a change in your life financially. And that's really how I'm going to wrap up this, because I mean, I could go for hours and hours about this stuff, all right? But we just don't have the time. And I do want to just talk about this one last thing here before we go. Cool, we're at the 46 minute mark. Okay, sweet. All right, so thank you guys for tuning in. Obviously, there's a lot of pre and post things that you want to think about. This list is not comprehensive, but I did talk about the more important things that we should be thinking about, you know, as we enter this stage in our life, whether we're a man or a woman. I know I spoke mostly to men in here, but this also applies to women as well. Okay, obviously there's going to be a little bit of different nuance in there, but that's something I want to address. Okay, so the issues that we face emotionally as men and women are very the same. They're very alike because we have a lot of the same shadow, I guess, traits and tendencies, and that's what creates the connection between men and women when we sit in each other's darkness. And that's why there's a lot of trauma bonding and codependency issues. But you know, that's for another topic. But realizing that in your own journey, it's gonna feel different for you, because firstly, there's so many different permutations of what has happened or what can happen to you. So whatever you're going through is very unique to you. But secondly, there are some commonalities as well that I want to mention and touch upon. So really, it's just about walking that fine line, knowing where the landmines are, and navigating yourself in and out of those landmines, okay? And so be as attentive as you possibly can. Be as appreciative as you possibly can. And what's one other thing? I guess try to be as more sympathetic and affectionate and empathetic towards your partner during this time. Try to really put yourself in the other person's shoes and really just appreciate what you guys had and what it is that you guys created in such a short time, but also the beauty of it, and that not all things that come to an end mean that it's a failure, okay? It just means that you're moving on to the next chapter in your life or the next book in your life, okay? So keep that in mind. If you guys are new to the channel, I do these episodes every Thursday now, all right? So I used to do 3 times a week. I'm now limiting it to 1 episode every week, and I'm just in the process of filming extra sub content that I can get to you that are that's going to be extremely useful to you, not just if you're coming out of a divorce, but if you're just navigating relationships in that sense. All right, so subscribe, tune in, keep coming. I got all kinds of stuff coming out, and I don't know where to start, but I'll just leave it at that. All right, so thanks for tuning in. Rob, your host, signing off. Peace out.